Wind turbines provide a great way to generate energy from an abundant free resource. We've seen it installed in large-scale operations lately, but what about something on a much more smaller, localized level? I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense, where we introduce eco-innovations that are helping the world become smarter about saving energy and resources. The company Icewind, based in Iceland, is now setting up shop in the U.S., with the vision to change the way people think about renewable energy. Sam Gerbis is a mechanical engineer and is the U.S. project manager for Icewind. Sam, welcome to GreenSense.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate that.
Sam, most of the wind turbines we see look a little bit like airplane propellers, but yours are different. They're somewhat cone-shaped and spin on the vertical axis. Describe those briefly. And tell us what the advantage of a windmill that looks like this is. A wind turbine. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Exactly what you said. Our turbines are vertical axis wind turbines. And some of the benefits you get from a vertical axis wind turbine is the turbine itself is omnidirectional, meaning it can catch wind from any direction and generate power. Some horizontal axis turbines, when wind speed changes, they have to either be stopped to face the wind direction or slowly turned on a gearing system to change wind direction. So with these vertical axis wind turbines, we are actually able to combine a set of blades. So we have two sets of blades in our wind turbines, an inner set of Savonius blades, which allows for low startup speeds and self-speed regulation, so there's no overspin, and an outer set of blades, which is similar to that airfoil design you were talking about called Darius blades, which provide lift. So it's a very robust system.
Give us an idea of the kind of megawatts one of your wind turbines generate. Typical wind turbines that we see generate about 1 megawatt, which would give electricity to about 100 homes. Put these in context.
Right. So those large wind farms you see, those horizontal axis wind turbines, many of them, those are to provide a lot of electricity to the grid, like you were saying, usually in the form of megawatts. Our turbines are much more smaller scale to power residents or commercial applications. So they range between about 150 to 1.5 kilowatts. So, you know, with this small scale, we can't hit that megawatt value that large wind turbines have. We're really more towards smaller commercial applications to, you know, take money off your electricity meter or to power anything you need off grid in a windy area.
Do you hook up battery storage?
Yes, you can actually. That is something our wind turbines, as we're coming here to America, we are really interested in being able to supply our turbines on or off grid to suit anybody's power needs. So yeah, but battery storage technology is something we're very into and something that we're pretty actively pursuing.
So walk me through an installation of one of your wind turbines. If I own a home and I want to get off the grid and install a wind turbine with a battery system, tell me how it would work, what kind of energy I could produce, and can I get off the grid, and what is the cost?
Yeah, certainly. So if you're talking about an off-grid home, you can utilize a turbine, and of course, our turbines, we design them so they're incredibly easy to set up. Like imagine an IKEA piece of furniture, almost that easy. You got a few torque wrenches and you can pretty much get it going. But for our off-grid turbines, we supply those with a charge controller. So, you know, you can get your optimum power curve, battery packs to charge and with various rated powers as well as dump loads, so you know you're not overcharging batteries. And like I mentioned earlier, we have a broad range of turbine sizes, all the way from about 150 watts to almost 1.5 kilowatts. So really off-grid, you can set up directly to power, you know, an off-grid cabin or home's lighting systems or electronics you might need, or you can easily hook those up to a battery. And so it's we like to also design these for ease of setup. So it's incredibly intuitive and incredibly easy to set this up to suit your power needs.
So give me an idea on the range of cost from a smaller one to a larger system.
So our smaller turbines are currently beginning at about $3,200. We are still working out prices for our larger scale. And part of the reason for this pricing is one of the largest kind of problems we've seen in the small wind turbine market is longevity and reliability of wind turbines. Conventional horizontal or vertical axis wind turbines are generally made of epoxy or fiberglass or nylon fiber. And a lot of these times these materials fail and the wind turbines need extended maintenance. So something that Icewind it really prides itself on doing is because, of course, we started our company in Iceland, we had to build to satisfy Iceland wind conditions. So our turbines have a 30-plus year lifespan, as well as use aircraft-grade aluminum, proper sealant so you don't get liquid or dust particles within the gearbox, and they are built to go up and stay up. So we really pride ourselves in consistent power generation at low speeds with excellent material selection.
What about maintenance? What do you have to do on a preventative basis, and what things may break unexpectedly?
Maintenance costs, like I said, are negligible. We have engineered our turbines to where they are set up and they run 30 plus years, and you do not need to fix anything on them. One of the biggest problems we faced early on in our design, as well as many conventional wind turbines have, is interference with the gearbox. Whether it be water coming in and freezing the gears so the turbine can't spin and generate power, or dust and particles and other various things getting inside the gearbox over an extended period of time and just wearing it down. We actually have worked with some pretty incredible German seal companies to make aluminum seals so no particles can enter our gearbox. So that is safe for the entire lifespan it works at. Our wind turbines are also rated to go up to over 130 miles per hour to take those wind speeds. So these are hurricane speeds we're talking about. So these things are built to go up and stay up.
Well, I've had the pleasure of traveling to Iceland. It's some of the most rugged, beautiful, natural country you could see. And as you mentioned, it has some severe weather, heavy winds, heavy rains. So if you've made something to tolerate that harsh environment, it should do very well here in the States. We talked a little bit about battery storage. Is there any other way to store the electricity? And can you give me an idea on the cost of battery storage?
Right. So for cost of battery storage, it's probably going to be maybe a little over 1,000 than our base model. Other solutions you can do if you live on an off-grid home is to hook the turbine up directly to your electricity meter and start saving money on that meter, perhaps generating some excess income. Battery storage, like we mentioned earlier, something I strongly believe is going to be very important in the future for all renewable energy sources, because currently with renewable energy technologies, whether it be wind or solar, you have peak and base loads. So, if the wind is spinning yet you have no lights on, you're kind of wasting the energy. So yeah, that battery storage technology, of course, the price point's a little high right now as we continue to develop and continue to kind of, make that more efficient every day.
Solar has been around for a long time, and it quickly went to home use. What's taken home wind turbines so long to get to the consumer?
So I think it's generally the kind of makeup of previous wind turbines. Like I said earlier, a lot of the materials utilized for wind turbines are generally inferior, epoxies or fiberglass or nylon fibers. And a lot of the time this results in turbines that don't have a very long lifespan and need extended maintenance. And a lot of the time it's more difficult to kind of install a turbine in a very windy place, find out where you might have a viable site rather than a place that's always sunny. It's a little bit more easier to figure out if solar power is applicable rather than wind.
One of the advantages I would think of wind over solar is solar only works, during the sunshine. And if you need your electricity 24 hours a day, you do have winds. Wind is not precluded by the sun. So it seems like that might have an advantage over solar, or I guess it could be geographically dependent too.
Yeah, of course there's an advantage. The max you can get a solar cell to work is 12 hours a day. And if you're in a windy area, you could theoretically be getting wind power 24 hours a day. But we like to think that you know, these renewable energy technologies are not mutually exclusive. It really is geographically dependent. You know, if you're in a very sunny area, it's probably going to be less windy. If you're in a really windy area, it's probably going to be less sunny. So I think solar and wind as technologies really complement each other. You know, we're a place that solar might not be applicable, wind might be, and vice versa. As well as utilizing both technologies together is a very smart and efficient way to generate clean power.
And yeah, that's sort of where I was going with this, is combining the two seems to give you the best of both worlds. It seems like you're not just after the consumer market, but you're also going after the industrial use. Talk a little bit about that and where the applications are on a commercial scale.
So one of the biggest things we're excited about in terms of the commercial sector is telecom towers. Currently, telecom towers are powered by about 2.5 kilowatt gensets. And, you know, not only are these burning fossil fuels, but they require maintenance and to be replaced every few years. And so we really see kind of the future of the telecom industry being powered by wind technology. You know, of course, with our commercial series, you can put them anywhere. So these wind towers are tall, and wind, of course, is going to be higher at the top of a tower rather than the base. So that is one industry we really see. We really want to, you know, get rid of these diesel generators all across the United States, all across the world even, and replace those with wind technology, as well as remote commercial applications. Think relay stations, comm depots, radar stations. All of these are also powered by diesel generators. All of these, a lot of the time in these remote locations, experience harsh climates, and that it's a perfect place for wind power to supplement.
The initial windmills were used to pump water, mill grain. Are you ever looking at using these for those kinds of applications?
Well, so those that wind design, the blade design, is actually called a Savonius blade design, and this is very ancient, like you were talking about. If you look at one of our ice wind turbines, as I mentioned earlier, we have two sets of blades. Our inner set is actually a Savonius set of blades. And like I said previously, this allows for low startup speeds and self-regulation. So yeah, though it is an ancient technology, it is very important and crucial and efficient to this day.
Well, Sam, we appreciate you being on Green Sense, and we hope you do well here in the States. And if you have any updates or something that's newsworthy, give us a call and we'd love to have you back on again.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Robert. I appreciate it.
That's Sam Gerbis with Icewind telling us about their new at-home and industrial wind turbines. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is Green Sense. Subscribe to our podcast at greensensefarms.com. And listen for the Green Sense Minute every Thursday on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, Chicago. So, Bob, I changed one thing on Byte One. One startup, the Candy, promotes its EVs as being the most affordable car in the $20,000 to $30,000 price range. I just clarified that. Okay. The latest buzz on EVs. I'm Robert Colangelo with a Green Sense Minute. Look for electric vehicle prices to keep dropping, according to Tom Appel of Consumer Guide Automotive. One startup, The Candy, promotes its EVs as being the most affordable. They're selling in the $20,000 to $30,000 price range. But there are other promising newcomers. For the complete interview, visit greensensefarms.com. I'm Robert Colangelo for News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.